Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Greetings, humans. You have entered the command zone, your destination for all aspects of Elder Dragon Highlander. Enjoy your stay.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
I see previews, and that's what we got.
Previews of green. Yeah, there's a couple green ones.
Yeah.
No red roses, though.
None red,
no
yeah. Red here. White and black roses, though. We got all the colors. What's up, everyone? You are watching / listening to the Command Zone podcast. I'm your host, Shimmy Wong.
How's it? It's Josh Lee Kwai. Yes, Commander Legends is here. Big thanks to Watsy for the preview cards.
Yay.
So we have multiple cards. We've got three brand new cards from the set and to unveil, to show off, to preview, and then one reprint that we're also letting everybody know about. So also, I should say, one of the new cards is a legendary creature.
Pretty sweet. Pretty cool. I think a lot of players will be excited about this one.
Some cool interactions. But before we tell you what these cards are, we got to tell you about our sponsors. Cardkingdom.com/CommandZone. That is our affiliate link. Listen, Commander Legends, this is the first ever booster box set for Commander, right? You can draft it, or you can just open the packs to get the cards or whatever it is you like to do. But this is the first time they've ever done a product like this. And so we know everybody out there is going to want to get their hands on it. If you just use our affiliate link, cardkingdom.com/CommandZone, when you order your Magic cards, you're getting what you want, which is your Magic cards, and just simultaneously, you are helping to support the Game Night's Extra Turns, this podcast, the Roundtable, all of our content.
Yeah, and Card Kingdom has these great, like, pre-constructed decks that they make as well. This is going to be an amazing entry point for a lot of new players, I think, into the format, especially those that might be in the more limited side that want to try out Commander Legends. So a really exciting time. The best place to get cards, especially if you want to just click one button and be done.
Yep.
Let's go to cardkingdom.com/CommandZone.
And they're going to get your stuff super, super fast. You know, sometimes you order booster boxes online from other places and you don't get it for like a week and a half, 2 weeks until the set comes out. You want to know you're going to get your cards like right away, right? We all want to get our hands on them. Card Kingdom gets you the stuff the fastest.
Yeah. And if you want to play those cards on amazing product, Ultra Pro, of course, another sponsor of the show. They've been with us for so long and we are always trusting them with our card quality, because when you play stuff on game nights, when you shuffle up decks, especially when you give them to visiting players, you want to make sure that those cards get back to you in one piece. And so we always trust Ultra Pro, their Hyper Eclipse sleeves.
Hyper Gloss.
I always say Eclipse.
I don't know where Hyper came from either.
Well, Hyper is just cool, man. And every time I think of Ultra Pro, I'm like, this is cool.
They're Pro Gloss.
Pro Gloss.
For professionals.
Wait. Yes, that is what Pro stands for. Okay, yeah. And if you want
and to also amateurs like us.
wait, hold on.
Listen, pros and amateurs, actually amateurs even more than pros want to protect their cards, right?
Yeah.
A lot of pros are like, whatever, I just play this for the tournament and
I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm done with it.
Yeah, but you know, amateurs like us that have big collections and lots of cards that they want to make sure are not damaged, we're all going to use Ultra Pro.
Yeah, and I'm hyper stoked to put Pro Gloss sleeves on my stuff, as should you be. So again, Ultra Pro, you can get some of the product on Card Kingdom or just any of your local game stores to support them.
And the final way to support our content is directly if you go to patreon.com/CommandZone. In fact, we shout out one lucky patron every single episode, and this episode is dedicated to Brett Merks or Merkez. I have no idea. Sorry, Brett, but you rock. first of all.
Yeah, you do, Rob.
Brett, you're awesome. Sorry about your, we messed up your last name. Something really quick to say to patrons and non-patrons, I guess. Mm-hmm. The Game Night's auditions, they're almost over. When you're watching this, there's only a couple of days left. If you want to have a chance to be flown out to Los Angeles, hang out with Jimmy and I and the team, play Commander on an episode of Game Nights. Of course, this is all going to take place at a point when the pandemic has made it safe to do so, when the pandemic has receded a little bit. But the audition process is going on right now where we choose the guest. And then once we've chosen the guest, we're going to determine the time to record it. So it probably won't be recorded for a number of months. But if you don't get your audition in within the next couple of days, you don't have a chance to be chosen. That's only available to patrons, but you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/commandzone, just to audition if you want to for as little as $1 a month, and you will be eligible. So again, only a couple of days, get on in there. All right.
All the instructions below, make sure you follow them and we'll be able to watch your audition in time.
Yeah, instructions in the show notes. Okay.
Okay.
We know you're here for the preview, so let's get right into it.
All right, this first card is a reprint. There are going to be a lot of reprints in Commander Legends, obviously. This one ties more into the other cards we'll be talking about today. It's not terribly exciting though. It is Fleshbag Marauder. This disgusting sack of flesh is going to be back, and it's going to be costing you 2 in the black for a 3-1. And when it enters the battlefield, each player sacrifices a creature. Typically, you're going to sacrifice the Fleshbag Marauder with this, or you're playing it in a deck that's an Aristocrats deck, has a bunch of cards that want to be sacrificed, and this is an easy way to play something, make everyone lose a creature, and yourself as well.
This card, Merciless Executioner, Plague Crafter, what's the new one? There's a new one from like Zendikar Rising that's very similar.
Yeah.
These are staple type cards in the format. A lot of decks run stuff like this because this kind of sack effect does really hurt decks that don't have a lot of creatures out, Voltron decks, things like that, that sacrificing their one creature usually means their commander. And it's very hard to protect against something that makes you
effect.
Something that makes you sacrifice. So
yeah,
we're not gonna talk about long. That's probably it, actually, because you know the card, you've seen it in play. It is getting reprinted in Commander Legends, but we know you're all here really for the new cards that we're previewing,
and we've got 3 of them on deck. Really excitingly, this first one, should we reveal it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Ugh, this is already giving me Tryptophobia and Arachnophobia. It is Sweet Gum Recluse, 4 green green for a creature spider that's a 0/3, and it's got flash, cascade, and reach. And when Sweet Gum Recluse enters the battlefield, put 3+1/+1 counters on each of any number of target creatures that entered the battlefield this turn. So cascade is a mechanic we don't see often on the show or talk about. It's really simple. When you cast a card with cascade, while it's on the stack, you reveal cards from the top of your library until you reach a non-land permanent card that has a CMC that is less than the card that you casted, and then you can cast that card for free. So,
you'll flip 4 or 5 things. If you flip a 5-drop, you can cast it.
Yep, and if that has cascade, it keeps going. So, Sweet Gum Recluse, this card on its face, when it enters the battle, when you play it, you're cascading into hopefully another big creature or something, and then when it enters the battlefield, oh, look, it saw another creature that entered the battlefield before it, thus it can put 3+1/+1 counters on it.
Right, because if you cascade into a creature, that creature has now entered the battlefield this turn.
Yes.
It's easy to miss on Sweet Gum Recluse. That it will put 3+1/+1 counters on every creature that has entered the battlefield this turn.
Yeah, not 3 total. So if you have 5 creatures, that's 15+1/+1 counters.
Plus it'll put it on itself.
Yes.
Because it will be a creature that has entered the battlefield this turn.
So it's always a 3/6 for 6 mana with flash, cascade, and reach.
Yeah, so the cascade is pretty important there.
Yeah, cascade is just generally very powerful. We've talked about cards like Rishkar's Expertise, which has a similar effect in how good it is. You're always going to get 2 cards off of Sweet Gum Recluse no matter what because of cascade. So people can often build decks around this as well, so that when they play 1 cascade card, they can only hit 1 legal target in the deck, and that's like some part of their combo.
Hard to do with Sweet Gum Recluse just because it's a 6-drop. Usually you would do that with something that's like 3 CMC and say, I only have 1 2-drop in the whole deck or something like that.
Yeah.
Still a lot of value here, and you know, I think this is obviously going to go into some +1/+1 counter decks because if you have Doubling Season or Windy Constrictor, Hardened Scales, that type of stuff, this gets quite a bit better. I mean, the fact that it's 6 CMC does make it difficult to like get other creatures out that turn.
Yeah, because
besides the one you cascade into, and sometimes you might cascade into a Cultivate.
How many could you even do off of the Sweet Gum, right? 6 mana, let's say you want to Secure the Waste for 3. That's a bunch of mana there too, and then you have to cast that on top of a 6-drop to get the counters. So it doesn't seem like that traditional way of just like play a bunch of things and then flash this in is going to be great.
Yeah. I think some top depth manipulation would be good with this because you want to know what you're going to hit. So if you sort of Sensei's Divining Top, look at the top few cards of your library, you notice there's a good creature there or a creature that's going to come in and make a couple of tokens maybe.
Yes.
So now I know what I'm going to cascade into, and that makes this a lot better. Plus it has flash. So it's a thing that you can kind of sneak creatures into play like on the end step before your turn. So you can have some explosive plays. Let's just imagine a creature that comes in and makes two tokens that's 5 CMC or less. If you do that on the end step before your turn, that's like, what, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 power onto the board at flash speed on your end step?
You're playing Gruul, you Siege Gang Commander, you get the tokens in. All of those creatures, including the Suicune Recluse, is going to get a 3 +1/+1 counter. So that's a lot. That's a lot of power.
15 power on the board right there. Siege Gang Commander is a good example. So I think you might think about it in some decks that have that kind of setup already, where if you've already got a top and you've already got, you know, CGN Commander or those type of cards in your deck, then I would think about including this.
Yeah. Notably, I also wrote down that you could play this on your opponent's turn. Let's say they have an explosive turn where they make 50, you know, plus on for 51 ones, and then you flash in Suicune Recluse.
I was thinking more like they swing with a creature that had haste or something.
Uh-huh.
And you flash this in to give that creature just a little bit more power, maybe it needed.
Oh,
or
nice!
Something.
Yeah.
It is a play pattern that you could just to get a little more punch, maybe knock somebody out or kill a creature that blocked that thought it was going to eat the creature that was blocking or something like that. Those situations don't come up very often, but I didn't even think about the fact that you could help your opponents out with it. That's interesting.
Imagine they just make a ton of creatures and then you give them, 150 power because they just had one of those turns.
I don't know why you do that, but sure.
Maybe it's like, don't attack me for a turn and you're holding a board wipe or something. Okay. Who knows? Sure. There's a lot of
things. Make sure they're not playing blue. Yeah. Or white, or like, okay. Anyway, it is an enter the battlefield effect too. So, in a blink deck like Rune, I think this is actually pretty good because you might play something, blink something else, blink this, get, six counters for 2 mana basically.
Yeah.
So that could be very powerful.
Yeah. If you blink it multiple times during a turn, if any creatures enter the battlefield that turn, even ones that you flicker, it's going to see those. And so it's going to add those counters every single time if you're able to deadeye nav hit
it. There you go.
Another 6 drop or 7 drop. Easy. No
but
problem.
But it's only 2 to activate. So once you got that going, you could get a lot of counters on stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to reset the counters on the Recluse every time though. So it's only going to be for something else. Important to note, if you blink it, you won't get the Cascade effect. Cascade is a cast trigger, so you're only going to get the ETB effect.
So some cards that we looked up that might be fun to cascade into, Crystalline Crawler is sort of a 5 mana all-star, or 5 mana, or 5 color deck all-star.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's only 4 mana.
It has converged, so it enters the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter for each color of mana spent to cast it. But if you cascade into it with Suicune Recluse, you get to add 3 +1/+1 counters, and you get to remove +1/+1 counters from this creature at any time to add a mana of any color. So it comes in, you already get the value of getting some free mana on it, and you could maybe use that to play something else, because again, 6 mana is a bit.
Mm-hmm.
this just... Obviously.
Gave, Guru of Spores, pay 1 to remove a 1/1 counter from it, and then you create a 1/1 sapperling. Or you can pay 1 to sacrifice creature and put a 1/1 counter on target creature.
Right.
Gave enters with 5 +1/+1 counters. This is a way to add counters to all the creatures Gave makes.
Yep.
And Gave too, maybe, possibly.
Give Gave more +1/+1 counters, and then you could also...
To make more creatures.
Suicune Recluse for 6, in response, remove 3 counters from Gave to make 3 1/1s. Boom,
there are 4 4s.
Yeah, that's a lot of power and toughness.
Yeah, Gave pretty good. Tyam, Luminous Enigma, this is an interesting one I hadn't thought about. This is one of the new commanders from...
Oh, yeah.
From Commander 20... Commander Ikoria, whatever Ikoria, we call it.
Ikoria
Commander?
Kamoria.
From the Commander product this year. it's that 3/3 in Abzan that says each other creature you control enters the battlefield with an additional vigilance counter on it, but you can pay 3 and remove 3 counters from among creatures you control, and you mill 3 cards, then return a permanent card with CMC 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
There you go.
So Sweet Gum gives... I always want to say Sweet Glum, but it's Sweet Gum. It likes... tasty gum.
Or it's sticky because it's a spider.
But it adds 3 counters to everything coming in, or that has come in this turn, and so that right there is enough to fuel Tyam maybe a couple of times.
Yeah, and not to mention Suicune will actually have 4 counters on it, 1 vigilance counter, as well as 3 +1/+1 counters. So just being able to get to that critical mass of 3 on creatures is tough in the Tyam deck, and that's how you really get going with all the combos you can do with it there.
I thought Arachnogenesis is probably pretty good with this card. And also, it's a spider, so it could go in spider tribal. And Arachnogenesis is a cheap way to get possibly 10, 12 creatures onto the board.
Yeah, so you need 9 mana to get nuts with Suicune Recluse?
Yeah, but, you know, if you have enough instants in your deck, you could be holding it up for other things. Yeah. But, yeah.
And you're a green deck, so hopefully you're just ramping like crazy at this point.
So that's 2 and a green for an instant, and you make X 1/2 green creature, or sorry, spider creature tokens with reach, where X is the number of creatures attacking you, and then you prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn by non-spider creatures. So often you make like 5, 6, 7 spiders, you take no damage, and then if you flash out Suicune Recluse,
oh boy,
then all of a sudden you're going to add 3 +1/+1 counters to all the spiders that got made.
And they're all going to be 4 or 5 spiders with reach.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, there's a little magical Christmas land, but I like Christmas.
You know, I think Spider Tribal is a deck that's gotten a lot of attention, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that later. So, you know, it could get there. And again, these are big mana decks. This is a 6 CMC card, so it's no joking matter.
Yeah, I think it's a fine card. It's going to see some play. It's not going to be a staple or change the format in any way.
Nope.
All right, the next card is pretty interesting. This is our second preview card. It is called Slash the Ranks. It's 3 white-white for a sorcery, and it says, destroy all creatures and planeswalkers except for commanders. So commanders live, all other creatures and planeswalkers die.
5 mana, about the right cost for most board wipes in white. It's either between 4 and 6. This is a targeted board wipe, and I am having trouble finding exactly where this is good.
Voltron decks is all I could think of, because your general one thing is going to be better than the one thing that they've got, right? Because you have, you've put a lot of resources onto your commander, like auras and equipment and things like that.
Yeah.
And you usually don't have a bunch of different stuff. So, I mean,
you wrote down another board wipe that costs 5 mana that arguably just beats this out of the water every time.
Yeah, my question is, when do you play this? When is this, if it's ever, better than Tragic Arrogance? Because Tragic Arrogance is 3 white-white for a sorcery. For each player, you choose from among permanents that player controls an artifact, creature, enchantment, and planeswalker. Then each player sacrifices all other non-land permanents they control. So you don't choose their commander, which is usually their best thing, right? You choose their worst stuff for them to keep and your best stuff for you to keep. And even in Voltron decks, that tends to be good because you keep an aura, an equipment, a creature, and they all have their worst stuff. Their commanders die.
Yeah.
You know,
the commanders dying seems like the big part here. Unless you're a deck that specifically doesn't want to kill your commander and you have ways of dealing with the other ones. It is notable that Slash Ranks does get rid of planeswalkers, so it's a kill all planeswalkers. But again, with Tragic Arrogance, very often for most players, you're not choosing a planeswalker.
There's not even one on the battlefield, How often are you in a game where you're like, boy, there's 5 planeswalkers out. I wish I could destroy all of them. Usually there's one, and everybody kind of teams up to kill the one. And so you don't need that on a board wipe generally.
Yeah. The ways I thought this card might be better, if you play cards like Leadership Vacuum, which is 2 in the blue for an instant, target player returns each commander they control from the battlefield to the command zone, and they draw a card. So maybe you can be like, all right,
Leadership Vacuum, then they don't have commanders out. Boom.
Play Slash Ranks, sure.
Yeah.
If you're playing a Child of Alara deck, you want to be very specific when you sacrifice Child of Alara, because when it dies, you destroy all non-land permanents and it can't be regenerated. And that now works with the new Commander Dies rules. So Slash Ranks might be a way to get rid of everything but your commander and still hold up that nuclear button, essentially.
Right. It is kind of good with like, this is interesting because you wrote down a very similar card to what I was about to talk about.
Oh, nice.
It was on the next page, so I didn't see it coming. So hold on, I'll hold my thought and I'll let you read the next 2 cards you wrote down.
Sure. Grave Pact, Dictate of Erebos. Basically enchantments that say whenever a creature you control dies, each other player sacrifices a creature. So then Slash Rank becomes everyone does get rid of everything and you only keep your commander.
Right. But that usually works that way with any sort of... if you have Dictate and Grave Pact out, most of the time you're just like, I Toxic Deluge for 3, everything dies except 2 of my things or whatever. I was thinking like Fleshbag Marauder would actually be good in tandem with Slash the Ranks. Because
Slash
the Ranks, they all have one thing left. Fleshbag Marauder, I sack my Fleshbag, you all sack your commanders.
Commanders, yeah.
But now you've created 2 cards and like 8 mana, and you could just play in Garruk's Wake or something, right? Like,
true.
That just does that. Although, you know, it's a much easier to cast a 5-drop than a 3-drop, which might be good on their own, than to have a 7 or 8-drop, 9-drop just sitting in your hand for most of the game that you can't cast. So, I don't know. Slash the Ranks, to me, is just not great. I can't find... Voltron deck is about the only place I could think of playing it, really.
Yeah. But, hey, if you have a very planeswalker heavy meta, we haven't seen a board wipe that really does this to this degree.
So. That hits creatures also, right?
Creatures and planeswalkers.
There's Elder Spell and some other stuff, but the fact that it's either not all non-land permanents or all creatures or all planeswalkers, but not creatures and planeswalkers, you know, without the other stuff.
So I would just add this to the list of the many different choices of board wipes that white has. And when you're building a deck, just choose the one that you think fits best for your meta and your deck.
Little hint. It's usually the ones that cost the least amount of mana.
Yeah, for sure.
I would rather just play Wrath of God, I think, most of the time. Or Tragic Arrogance is an underrated card that I do like quite a bit. But I'm definitely not cutting that for Slash the Ranks. And do I want a worse Tragic Arrogance in my deck? I don't even think I want two Tragic Arrogance in most decks.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the only other option is play both, but it's a lot. All right.
Let's move on to the big one, the headliner. This is the new legendary creature. I'm sure the one that you've been waiting around for the most. Jimmy, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah. I think a lot of players are going to be happy to hear about this. It's Kol'Thanor, the last U.
Not Y-O-U.
U.
Y-E-W.
Yeah, U. All right, it's 3 in Abzan, so white, black, green, 6 CMC total for a legendary creature, Treefolk Shaman. That's a 3-7 with vigilance and reach, like any good tree. Whenever Kol'Thanor or another creature you control dies, return up to one other target creature card with lesser toughness from your graveyard to your hand.
So it's a toughness matters wording. We've seen this before.
Yeah. This is actually very similar to a card called Scrap Trawler, which is looking for a CMC of artifacts that are less whenever another creature you control dies, or an artifact goes to the graveyard, so you can return stuff to your hand. So it has this sort of combo-tastic ability.
Scrap Trawler goes to the battlefield, though. This
No. Scrap Trawler goes to hand.
Oh, his hand?
Yeah, okay. Because you're using KCI to make more mana.
Right.
I think this is just your classic. If you want to build the Duran, the Siege Tower decks, or if you have a Duran deck, it's like a slam dunk in that deck. Big Butts is actually pretty popular in EDH Rec. I looked it up. Arquettes made that archetype really explode in popularity, but that is in Bant colors. But overall, there are about 3,000 decks on EDH Rec, which is about the same as the number of Blink decks.
Wow.
However, a third of all Aristocrats decks.
Well, speaking of Aristocrats, I actually think Kol'Thanor is probably more of an Aristocrats deck than it is a quote-unquote Big Butts deck,
right?
A Toughness Matters deck. And I think there are actually some really powerful things. This is going to be a synergy combo type deck that might be pretty strong. I'm going to walk through some of the stuff we came up through. I guess we're going to walk through some of the stuff we came up with regarding Kol'Thanor. But we're going to take a quick break first and hear a message from our sponsors.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
All right, we're back. We're talking about our Commander Legends preview cards. Kol'Thanor, the last U, which is our legendary creature that we just revealed. I'm going to read it one more time before we kind of break down some cool synergies and combos we came up with. It is 3 in Abzan, so 6 mana total for a 3-7 with Vigilance and Reach. It's a Treefolk Shaman. When Kol'Thanor or another creature you control dies, return up to one other target creature card with lesser toughness from your graveyard to your hand. So when any creature you control dies...
Look at the toughness.
It can be a token, too. It doesn't say non-token.
Yes.
You look at the toughness of the creature that died. You look at the toughness of creature cards in your graveyard. Any creature that's less toughness can go to your hand.
Equal to just less than. So
yep.
If something with 3 toughness dies, you can only get 0, 1, and 2 toughness creatures back to your hand.
Yeah, so it's pretty powerful. We know Scrap Trawler, like you said, Jimmy, is very powerful. And we know you can get into certain loops and synergies and combos with this type of effect. And so I think you do this same thing with Kol'Thanor. I think you want to start with creatures that have higher toughness on the battlefield than they do in the graveyard.
Right.
And that way, anytime something dies, you can get back. You know, like, here's one that we wrote down. Endless One. It's X mana for a 0/0 Eldrazi, but it enters the battlefield with X-1/1 counters on it.
So it scales really well.
Yeah. So in your graveyard, it's always got zero toughness.
Mm.
So anything that dies, you can always get Endless One back from your graveyard to your hand, even though you cast it for 5 mana and it's a 5/5.
Right.
And then when it dies, it can get other things from your graveyard. But then it dies and it's sitting in your graveyard and is always a card you can get back. And there are a bunch of creatures that kind of fit that same mold.
Yeah, and they're all very good creatures as well. Hangerback Walker is a card that a lot of decks just play just because of the utility it has and how it scales with the game over time.
Makes opters when it dies.
Yeah, and then you've got Workhorse, which is a Josh Lee Kwai favorite. It's a 6-mana 0/0, but it enters the battlefield with 4+1/+1 counters on it, and you can remove a +1/+1 counter to add a colorless mana.
So it can give you 4 of the mana back. Although, remember, when it died, if you remove the last counter, it would die as a 0/0.
At 0/0, right.
So you kind of want to maybe remove 3 and then sack it as a 1/1 to get something back.
Yeah.
But that's a
card. Or just use all of the counters on it, and then anything else dying, pretty much.
Brings it back. Because it's a 0/0 again in your graveyard. Yep.
Yeah. I like this, too. You put the modular creatures on here, like Arcbound Stinger. It has modular 1, which means it can enter the battlefield with a +1/+1 counter on it. And when it dies, you put its +1/+1 counter on a target artifact creature. So when it dies, it's still is a 1/1.
Right.
It still sees it as a 1/1, so it can pick up your zero cost or zero toughness creatures, and then that counter goes on to another creature, which makes its toughness bigger.
Yeah.
So it's actually got a lot of interesting synergies here.
And again, it's a 0/0 in the graveyard.
Yeah.
Arcbound Worker, same thing. It has modular, just doesn't have flying.
And they're cheap creatures, too. Yeah. 2 mana, 1 mana. So that means you can probably cast it again when you get it back.
Very important,
yeah,
I think,
yeah.
for the synergies you're going to want to get into. You don't want creatures that are going to cost a lot of mana to put out, because you're going to want to try and get in some loops where you're casting, sacking over and over again. This is a new one, Cryptic Trilobite. It's XX for a 0/0, but it enters the battlefield with +1/+1 counters on it, and you can remove a 1/1 counter from it to add 2 colorless mana that you're only allowed to spend on activated abilities, and then you can pay 1 and tap it to add a 1/1 counter to it. So if I'm not sure, listen, we're not going to build an entire deck today, right?
Right.
We're just giving some ideas, but if there were enough activated abilities, you maybe include this, and it's possible you include this anyway, even if there's not, just for the fact that it is a card that has higher toughness on the battlefield than it does in the graveyard.
Yeah, and another thing that we'll talk about a little bit later, but Endless One, Hangerback Walker, Cryptic Trilobite, you can pay 0 and cast them, and they immediately die and go to the graveyard. So that means there are certain cards that we'll talk about later that care about this sort of thing.
Yep. Sweet Gum Recluse is a card you may consider because it has 3 toughness in the graveyard.
Right.
But it has 6 toughness effectively on the battlefield. Also gives toughness to your other creatures. And Sweet Gum can kind of sit in for all these cards. There's a ton in green that say when it enters the battlefield, you know, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature or whatever. That's a creature that's maybe like a 1/1.
Right.
And then, you know, but it actually gives you an additional power on something. So it's a 2/2 when it's on the battlefield, 1/1 in your graveyard type of deal.
Yeah, and this, again, powers up the cards we just talked about. Endless One, Hangerback Walker, Workhorse, Cryptic Trilobite. So all of them could benefit, potentially, from the Sweet Gum Recluse, as well as the Crystalline Crawler, which we talked about earlier, which is similar to Workhorse in a lot of ways.
Yeah, Crystalline Crawler would be 3+1/+1 counters because you have 3 colors in the stack.
Yeah.
So it's a 4/4 on the battlefield, but a 1/1 in your graveyard. And it gives you mana back, which makes it effectively a cheap creature like Arcbound Worker or something, because the fact that you can get your mana back out of it. And again, like we said, we're going to want to get into these loops where we're just casting a creature, you know, maybe
over
cycling between
again.
2 creatures
right.
Over and over. Okay, so here's the thing. When the creature dies, it can also have higher toughness than it would have in the graveyard if you have an effect out that's giving all your creatures more toughness.
Oh, butts matter.
Yeah, so there's like Leyline of Vitality, which I think is probably really good in this deck.
Yeah, it also has a very important line of text. When creatures enter the battlefield under control, you gain a life. But it gives your creatures +0/+1.
And it's one of the ley lines, so if you have it in your opening hand, you can cast it for free.
Mm-hmm.
There is Lumithred Field, which is 1 and white for an enchantment. Creatures you control get +0/+1, and it has Morph for 1 and a white.
So you can make it a creature and then into an enchantment later.
This is important because if you play 2 1/1s, like if all of a sudden on the battlefield one's a 2/2, but then it dies, it goes to the graveyard, the anthem effect doesn't affect the graveyard. So now all of a sudden you can trade cards that are actually equal toughness, and now you can You see what we're doing here? Hopefully you'll see.
Yeah. I mean, in general, anytime you can mess with the math and make it so that you always kind of get what you want, seems great. Fortifying Provisions is a new card from Throne of Eldraine. Basically does the same thing, but it also gives you a food token when there is the battlefield.
Yeah. And then I think it's easy to get tunnel vision and only look for cards that only give toughness.
Right.
But cards that give power and toughness also give toughness.
Right. And this deck doesn't care about power.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're still, it's okay because this deck doesn't say your creatures deal damage with their butts, right? So you're going to, if you're going to attack or something, you do want to give them power. So like Glorious Anthem and Gaia's Anthem, both are 3-mana enchantments that give all your creatures +1/+1.
Yeah.
That is giving them one toughness. So I think it's easy to overlook those cards, still play those cards probably. What you're looking to do is get an Anthem effect or two out. Commander's Insignia is another one, cares about how many times you've cast your commander, could give, you know, +2/+2 or +3/+3 maybe.
Dictate of Heliod is the same, giving you a flash ability to do this so you can kind of set up what is going to be a combo turn most likely.
Yeah, or just really good value. So now imagine that you're in the situation where you have Endless One in your graveyard and you have, you know, what's one of the other 0/1s? Hangerback Walker in your hand.
With the Anthem effect.
With an Anthem effect out. You can just play the card for 0. It's a 2/2. Sack it to something, get the Endless One back, play it for 0. It's a 2/2. Sack it, because the Anthem effects will keep it alive.
Right, and that doesn't even need to have one of the altars that give you mana when you sack it, because they can technically cost 0. So that right there.
Leyline of Vitality, you're gaining a life every time you do that. That's infinite life right there.
Just like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And Leyline of Vitality actually gives you the toughness boost that you need to even do it. So all you need is Leyline of Vitality and a sack outlet, and now all of a sudden you have infinite life just right there.
Yeah, and there are 3 cards we've already mentioned that you can pay 0 mana to cast.
Yep.
So that's interesting. I believe Leyline of Vitality has just become the most important card in the deck.
Yeah, it is very good.
It's pretty darn good. It does everything you want. And gives
plus
that,
you're
that
in
life.
White and black. You can find it if you want to.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Another category that we have down here are just creatures that cost 0, because as we just demonstrated, if you're able to get into these loops or patterns where you don't need to be paying mana for creatures every single turn, then you're probably going to be able to go somewhat infinite. So Memnite is a 0-mana 1/1. Ornithopter is a 0-mana 0/2. Again, higher toughness, even better there.
Yep.
Phyrexian Walker, a 0-mana 0/3. Shield Sphere. I can't believe it. I haven't even seen a lot of this card. This is a 0-mana 0/6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these are all, you want cards that cost 0, not just like Endless One, but that actually have a 0 in the top right corner, because you're going to be able to cast these. I mean, Memnite's super, super good. If you have an Anthem effect, again, it stands in for Endless One, Hangerback Walker, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're just cast it, sack it, get the Endless One back, cast it, sack it, get the Memnite back, cast it, sack it. Again, you need the Anthem effect to make this work, but as you know, as soon as you do, you're going to be able to do stuff like that.
Yeah, 0 casting cost creatures is very important here.
Okay, and I just... put as a question, you have some cards in the deck that make artifacts cost less.
Oh.
You know, so like Foundry Inspector, Joyer's Familiar,
yeah,
those things that say artifact spells you cast cost 1 less to cast, because now all of a sudden,
right,
you can get the Arcbound Worker or whatever out for free now, maybe, or 1 less mana, which is going to matter a lot.
Yeah, well, let's say you have that and a Hangerback Walker out, yep, and another one. So you play the Arcbound Worker, it comes out, you sack it, and then you bring back a Endless One.
Yep.
And then you just keep that loop going with an Anthem effect or whatever. So you're always able to get this card back over and over again, and you can keep playing +1/+1 counters on the Hangerback Walker, and you win the game.
Right. And then, of course, anytime you're sacking stuff and doing stuff like this, there are going to be 3 cards that you're probably going to want. Phyrexian Altar, Ashnod's Altar, those make mana.
Yep.
You sack creatures and make mana. And then Altar of Dementia, which
mills
your opponents. And again, in that situation with Endless One and Hangerback Walker and an Anthem effect, you know, if Altar of Dementia, Dictate of Heliod.
Right.
If Altar of Dementia is your sack outlet, then you just infinite mill right there.
Yeah, so there are a lot of ways to go infinite with this deck. Specifically, I mean, the Phyrexian Ashnod's Altars are great because they give you colorless mana and colored mana. So again,
they're, to recast the cards.
Like we just said, you have, even with a Foundry Inspector out and a Phyrexian Altar, you're able to go infinite in a lot of different ways, because now you can always cast a Hangerback Walker when you get it back for at least 1 counter. Remove the counter, kill something, and it has, you know, and you just find ways to.
Oh, yeah,
keep
Walking Ballista
is
probably good in this deck too.
Yeah, Walking Ballista. Yeah, any of those cards that basically can remove counters to start killing things. If with these cycles going, you're able to go pretty infinite.
Yeah.
Pretty infinite.
Pretty easy. And there's a lot of creatures that can fill in for each other, too. Like, you don't care if it's Hangerback and Walking Ballista, or Walking Ballista and Endless One, or Endless One and Arcbound Worker, or those kind of things, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You just need Kolfinir out and probably protected, because they can sort of get rid of him in the middle of one of these as well before you're able to keep going.
And then you're in basically the best colors for things that care about either creatures dying, leaving, or entering the battlefield.
Right.
So what you're trying to do is get an effect on the board that cares about, you know, when a creature dies or when a creature enters the battlefield. And
or
then
from the graveyard, as we'll talk about in a second, too.
Because you're just going to play the same two creatures over and over. So the classic Aristocrats ones, Blood Artist, Zulaport Cutthroat, Cruel Celebrant,
mm-hmm.
Corpse Knight is a new one that cares about ETBs, and then the card we talk about every single episode, Sir Conrad, cares about creatures leaving the graveyard.
Yep, which is really good with Kolfinir. So all of these are going to be able to give you a way to ping people all the way down.
Yeah, to turn the merry-go-round of I play this, I sack this, it gets back this, which I play for free, which I sack, which gives back the first card that I played, which I sack.
For free, yeah.
Yeah, that's a way to turn that into victory, right?
Yeah, so this does seem like a very much a combo-tastic deck. Obviously, a 6 CMC commander makes it a little bit harder, but once you're going, it's not like you need additional mana on those turns. You just play a bunch of zero casting cost stuff.
And you're in green, so it's not that hard to get to 6 mana, as we know.
Definitely not. And then you can also just go the infinite life route with the Soul Sisters, so that's Soul Warden, Soul's Attendant, Essence Warden, basic and Lightland of Vitality, these cards that give you life when creatures enter the battlefield. So you can do a lot of things. You can make your life go to infinity, you can make someone else's life go to zero.
Zero for an opponent is better, right? Because they can still still infect you out. Craig has taught me that infinite life is not...
It doesn't mean anything to an infected.
It's not as valuable as you want it to be. They're it's like, still ooh. Good, don't get me wrong. But, yeah. Then you want to win by making an infinite amount of creatures. So like Bridge from Below allows you to make 2/2 zombies. If it's in your graveyard, there's a bunch of things. So I was looking at Bridge from Below, and then I was like, oh, yeah, there's that new white card that's actually better than Bridge from Below.
Yeah. It's the Pegasus one, or the Unicorn one, sorry. Yeah, from Jumpstart's Blessed Sanctuary, which is 3 white, prevent all non-combat damage that will be dealt to you and creatures you control. So just
pretty
nice.
Good gravy,
pretty good already, yeah. And then whenever a non-token creature enters the battlefield under your control, create a 2/2 white Unicorn creature token.
So all these creatures we're talking about are not tokens. Endless One, Hangerback Walker, blah, blah, blah. And if you're just going to play it, sack it, get the thing back, play it, sack it, get the thing back, play it, sack it, then you're going to make infinite amounts of 2/2 white unicorns.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah, that's
thanks,
cool.
Emil.
Yeah.
For your blessing.
Also, you're in green, so you could just play Guardian Project and draw your entire deck. And you'll probably have infinite mana. You definitely will by the time you draw your entire deck, because you will have Ashnod's Altar or Phyrexian Altar that you draw at some point.
And maybe the Foundry Inspector to make the mana cost a little less.
Find the Altar of Dementia so that you can mill everybody out. You have to be a little careful, though, because this is not a May ability on Guardian Project.
Oh.
So you could be in a situation where you actually can't
you don't have
win.
Your win condition.
Because now every time I do my cycling,
right.
That actually gets me closer to death because I'm drawing more cards from my deck. I mean, obviously, you're in green and white. You probably can remove the Guardian Project at some point.
Yeah, find a way to get rid of it before you get rid of yourself.
Yeah, so the next section we call Don't Over-Focus on Toughness Matters. I think because Kolfinir says the word toughness in its text box, it's really easy to think like,
got
it's just like the Anthem
butts.
Thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think like you can get back a lot of creatures that just happen to have low toughness, like Eternal Witness.
It's 2/1.
It's got 1 toughness. So that's a creature you can just get back at any time. And now if you have Eternal Witness, you can get back any card anytime something dies, right? Because you cast an Eternal Witness again, get any card out of the graveyard you feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Eternal Witness doesn't care about toughness. You know, you can get back your instants and sorceries. Reclamation Sage blows up artifacts and enchantments, only has 1 toughness. So that's a card that you would want to get back over and over, blow up all the artifacts and enchantments.
Yeah, you put Fog Frog on here too, or Spore Frog.
Oh,
just
man.
Being able to get this back as well, we've already known that if you can get into full-on loops where you always have a Spore Frog, you're going to be doing quite a lot of work.
Fog Frog is so stinking good because, you sack it too and get something back out of your graveyard, probably like an Endless One or something.
Yeah, totally.
Hangerback Walker, and then it fogs them, and then you get it back with something else, replay it, and they're like, it's like facing constant miss and things like that, where you're just like, okay, so I'm never going to be able to do combat damage until we can exile that thing somehow. And it's hard to because they sack it in response.
Phyrexian Altar looking better and better in this deck because you just need 1 colored mana to make a lot of things come true. Both Phyrexian and Ashnod's are absolute must includes.
And then a new card that we talked about a lot that I think is good in this deck, Trove Warden. That's the 3/4 Vigilance for 2 and 2 white that has landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, exile target permanent card with converted mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard.
Mm.
And then when Trove Warden dies, put each permanent card exiled with it onto the battlefield under the control of that card's owner. So this kind of stalks away cards from your graveyard, and then when it dies, they come into play onto the battlefield. And the fact that you can get Trove Warden back with your other cards,
right?
And this is a deck with a lot of sacrifice outlets, so you don't have to worry that like they're gonna, you know, bounce it or exile it. You can always sack it in response.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
and not to mention all of the cards we talked about, Hangerback Walker. All of their CMCs are below 3 because they are XX. So technically, their ZMC is 0 until you cast it, and it becomes whatever the cast. I was thinking about some of this stuff too, but Evoke cards look very good with this deck because these are cards that immediately enter the battlefield for a cheaper cost, unless you pay their Evoke cost. Well, if you pay their Evoke cost, and then they sacrifice themselves.
Yeah.
So they immediately get in and then out, and they'll do an effect, and then they'll be able to trigger Kol'Fenor. So Shriek Maw is the classic. It technically is a 4 and a black creature elemental 3/2 with fear, and when it enters the battlefield, you destroy target non-artifact non-black creature. But if you evoke it, you only pay 1 in the black. It enters the battlefield, it will destroy target non-artifact non-black creature and then sacrifice itself, and then boom, anything with less than 2 toughness you can get back.
Yeah, think of that, where you go Shriek Maw evoked, kill that thing, get my Eternal Witness back.
Yuck.
You know, play something else. You know, if I have an Anthem effect out, you know, I could even play like an Endless One or something, sack that, get the Shriek Maw back, recast the Shriek Maw, get the Endless One back, cast the Endless One, get the Shriek Maw back, re-evoke this, you know, you're evoking the Shriek Maw. Maybe, you know, if you're making Ashnod's Altar mana or Phyrexian Altar mana that whole time, you might be able to just kill like 5 or 6 things.
Yeah. Notably, when the evoked creature enters the battlefield, the evoke trigger goes on the stack in which you can then respond by sacrificing it to an altar
mana.
And you get the mana and it still goes to the graveyard. So it actually exists on the battlefield for a short second, so there are some tricky things you can do when it's there.
There is Wisp Mare, which is basically Shriek Maw, but it gets rid of enchantments. Oh. It's only 1 white.
Like your Guardian Project when you're about to draw yourself out.
Yeah, so pretty good.
Yeah.
This one's really good.
Vesper Lark is evoke cost is 1 in the white. When it leaves the battlefield, you return target creature card with power 1 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Power. So all your stuff's got low power.
Yeah, so you can just sort of like start the cycle off too, because you don't care if a Hangerback Walker comes in for 0 and dies or whatever, or it comes in as a 0/1
right,
because of the toughness bust.
Yep.
And then boom, you just immediately get it back, and then you can start the cycle from there, which is pretty neat.
Yep. And then Revelark, of course, which is a classic combo-y synergy piece. It's 4 and a white for a 4/3 flying, but when it leaves the battlefield, you return up to 2 target creature cards with power 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, and you can evoke it for 5 and a white. This is the evoke cost is actually higher than its
because the power cost is so great. So that you just play it for 5, and then you just sack it to one of your many, many sack outlets.
And get it back, too, right? Then it's sitting in your graveyard for you to get back. Yeah,
I like this one, Briarhorn. You can evoke it for 1 in the green, and it gives a creature +3/+3 until end of turn when it enters the battlefield. So this way, you can actually change the toughness of something and then sack it and keep the cycle going.
And also, it's a 3/3, so when it dies, because you do sack it to evoke, you're going to get something else back. So it's almost like do that thing, draw a card right out of your graveyard
and then have something else that could potentially even get this back now that's a above 3 toughness or whatever.
Yep. There's Cloud Thresher, which is 2 green so 6 mana for a 7/7 with flash, very important, and reach. When it enters the battlefield, it deals 2 damage to each creature with flying and each player, but it has evoke for 2 green, so for 4 mana at flash speed you can basically get something with 6 toughness or less out of your graveyard.
It's 7/7. It's
huge. And deal 2 damage to all flyers and all players. So that is a very powerful thing to just get. You know, I think it's possible you get stuck at certain points. People exile something at the key point or whatever, and this will kind of get you going. Get the thing back out of your graveyard. Now I can go again.
Yeah, and you could probably do a lot of damage with this if you can evoke it multiple times a turn.
Yep.
It is 2 green is a little tough, but yeah, the evoke cards have a ton of value stapled onto them, and they're great because they help trigger Kol'Fenor. Even when they don't, you get Shriek Maw's a great card. You can get rid of a creature from 1 in the black.
And it sits there in your graveyard for later if Kol'Fenor is back out, right? You can get it back, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we've got some other enhancers and combo enablers. So Tesa Karlov comes to mind because it doubles the death triggers, which Kol'Fenor is.
Yep. Luris also does a very similar thing. You can just play it in the deck. You don't need to have it as your companion. During each of your turns, you may cast 1 permanent with CMC 2 or less from your graveyard. And you're constantly sacking things.
All the stuff we've named is 2 CMC or less, or can be, right?
Yeah.
Endless One, you just pay X is equal to 2, and there it is.
You can't,
by the way, you can't pay 3 for X on Endless One because Luris...
Or Hangerback or any of those, yeah.
Right, because Luris sort of cares what you actually pay for X as whether it determines that to be 2 CMC or not. But still, very, very good to kind of, again, Colfer or Micah killed, so you want to be able to just still do some of the tricky stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of your win conditions don't rely on having the X of Hangarback Walker to be super massive. You can, again, cast it for a zero and just have it keep going and going and going.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then a lot of sort of cards that we didn't flesh out exactly what you do with them, but they just seem really good.
Yeah, they seem like they would do a lot of work. The Throy is a card we talked about with a huge combo potential. It's also an Abzan. And when it mutates, you can return any number of target creature cards with power 10 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. So you could just womp them all out at once and then have them all die if they have zero power or whatever, or you sack them if they're zero ones because you have some Anthem going on. And it just seems like you can just get the train going really fast with that.
For sure. I mean, yeah, if you have an Anthem effect, then Endless One counts as zero, Hangarback Walker counts as zero, Crystalline Crawler counts as one, you know, and then they come out and they stay alive or they're bigger than that, and
it's a party.
Netherite seems pretty good. Yeah, Tyam, second mention in an episode. Who would have thought? This is the one where you remove three counters from among creatures you control and then you mill three cards and return a permanent with three CMC or less from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Yep, a new card, Aura Skyclave Hierophant. When Aura or another cleric you control dies, return target cleric card with lesser converted mana cost from your graveyard to the battlefield. So there's a lot of different things you can do here with this deck. And it does seem pretty powerful with the combos, because the stuff we talked about earlier, again, you can just on a single turn just go off and just infinitely sack and recast and keep playing things. People have to be able to remove Kol'Fenor with instant speed. Otherwise, you're able to just get around it.
Yeah, I think there are enough pieces to the combo too, right? Like, it's not a two-card combo. You have to get a few things going so that it's not going to be like CEDH powerful. But the fact that most of the pieces have a lot of redundancy, right? There are many cards that can fill the Endless One slot. We just keep saying Endless One, but that can be Hangarback Walker. That can
be endless.
Yeah, it can be Arcbound Worker. It can be a lot of different cards. And then there are a lot of cards that can fill the Sack Outlet spot, right? That can be any of the Altars. That can be Viscera Seer. That can be a lot of stuff. Then there are a lot of cards that can fill the Anthem effect slot to, you know, pump all your creatures. Gaia's Anthem, the Leyline of Vitality. So all the pieces have much redundancy, and then you're also in the tutor colors. You have Enlightened Tutor, Idyllic Tutor, Demonic Tutor, Vampiric Tutor.
You pretty much get anything you need.
Right, so finding the pieces is not going to be super hard. So I think, you know, and that's kind of the most optimized, powerful version, the 8.5, maybe 9 version of it. I doubt it's 9, but maybe up there somewhere.
Ideally, you're playing Kol'Fenor on like turn 3 and winning. That would be
maybe 4.
Sort of how you're going to. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess with Mana Crypts and stuff, 3 is possible.
Yeah, and you have tons of cards like your Blood Artist as well. So you just, every single part of this combo deck, there's redundancy everywhere.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lower powered version that doesn't have as many tutors, maybe doesn't have the fast mana at the beginning, you know, can get into these combos, but isn't going to like tutor them out super, super early, could fit into a lot of playgroups' power level that everybody finds, you know, fun about their playgroup or whatever. But I think Kol'Fenor can definitely be a very, very strong deck and can take games at any point along the power spectrum, all the way to CEDH, where I think, I mean, maybe they'll tell me that I'm wrong, but I think it's probably not quite up there just because of how many pieces you need.
Yeah, and then again, you can throw this in the 99 of any of your big butts deck, like Duran the Siege Tower. You can make a Treefolk Tribal deck, and you're just going to get a lot of generic value off of Kol'Fenor being able to bring stuff back to your hand constantly. If you play the Assault Formation deck, I think it's kind of weird that the Arcadez deck and the Abzan decks, because one's in Bant and one's in Abzan,
right,
they are both trying to do the same thing. So there are different...
It sucks that you can't put Arcadez into these decks, right?
Yeah, you'd have to play like a four-color mess to
I think
do
they
that.
Just wanted to open up to another color. I don't know why they decided that was going to be blue, but...
Yeah.
You know, I would have liked it to be red because red has Vent Sentinel.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But whatever. Blue has a lot of walls and defenders, so Arcadez cares about that. But yeah, I do agree. That's a little bit
And there's the Ikra Shiddiqui partner as well, if you want to make a four-color deck, and that is a Toughness Matters deck as well.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different ways to go in it. I do think the Aristocrats kind of sack synergy stuff is probably the most powerful way to go.
Or make some spiders, because we also have the Sweet Gum Recluse.
That's true. Good job saying that.
Yeah. It took me a while. I looked at it. I was reading it right off the card. I'm like, do not mess this up. This, I don't want to look at this anymore. It's too many spiders. Too many things with spiders and eggs and stuff, and it's creeping me out.
All right. That's going to do it for our Commander Legends preview cards. To the listeners, remember, we're recording this episode before the internet or the world really knows about Kol'Fenor. So, you know, we're just giving our initial impressions, our initial thoughts. It's very possible that we missed some cool synergies or combos. So what we'd like you to do is, if you're thinking of cards like, hey, guys, this is the perfect card. Why didn't you talk about this? Put it in the comment section.
Yeah, be the first person to tell the world.
Yeah.
Not us.
Definitely put it down there so that other people can go down in the comments and see what other people have thought of. Because we'd like to know what are the coolest cards you see that are good with any of our new preview cards, but especially Kol'Fenor. Although I'd also like to hear what you think about Slash the Ranks and where you think that fits.
And don't tell us about Fleshbag Marauder.
We already know about it.
We know about it. We've been talking about it for a long time.
If you want to build a Kol'Fenor deck, or if you want to build a deck around any of the new legends from Commander Legends, we're in the early stages of previews, so, you know. But, of course, there's been leaks and stuff, so a lot of people know about a lot of the legends. Anyway, the set looks...
Here's one thing that you can always buy. Arcane Signets, Soul Rings, Command Towers, right? Cards that you know you're always going to be able to use in Commander.
You can Especially if it makes new Commander decks. Commander Legends, right?
Yeah.
Like boxes and stuff of it, because you're going to want these cards for sure.
Yeah. And I think over the holiday season, too, this could be definitely one of the most fun things you could do with family safe and sound.
So cardkingdom.com/commandzone is the place to go to order all of your Magic products, singles, anything at all. You really are getting the Magic cards you're going to buy anyway and supporting our content simultaneously.
Yeah, and because you're going to be drafting decks, you're going to need to buy a lot of sleeves. And of course, Ultra Pro has you covered from that whole spectrum. They have awesome sleeves with obviously art that's going to be themed to Commander Legends. They got play mats from Commander Legends. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement over some of these new commanders, especially because this is the chance. Again, this was the year of Commander. You're going to see a lot of stuff in here. I'm pretty sure that it is going to make a lot of sort of old players and new players excited alike, and represent that by having a sweet play mat.
Yeah.
Or sweet sleeves.
And also sweet sleeves to keep your new Commander Legend cards from getting all dinged up, because you don't want that to happen.
Especially when you draft them, you don't want to just do the Josh Lee Quiet thing and just shuffle it bareback. Oh, no thanks.
I mean, it just depends on what I drafted, and I don't rare draft much, so usually there's nothing of value in it.
At least your commander can be in the command zone.
There you go.
Your high value
card. Oh, that's true.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually true. All right, no end step today because this is a bonus episode, so we don't want to have to come up with anything.
Nope, that's right. But we will thank our editing, graphics, and logistics team here at the Command Zone. Craig Blanchett, Ashlyn Rose, Lady Danger, Manton Lung, Josh Murphy, Jake Boss, Patrick Nunn, Alfred Estaca, and Sam Waldo.
Good job, everybody. And special thanks to Jeffrey Palmer, who does the living card animations that begin each of our episodes, and also a lot of the animations for the windows that sit behind us. You can find Jeffrey at LivingCardsMTG.
Yeah, send him some love.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
See you next time.
Peace.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to commandcast@rocketjump.com or ask us on Twitter @JFWong and @JoshLeeQuai. See you later, alligator.
Greetings, humans.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now, all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.